Hello, my name is Natasha, and I'm here with Courtney. And me and Courtney are this year's hospitality interns here at the Stephen and Laurel Brown Foundation. And we wanted to create a podcast as just a resource for maybe future hospitality interns, maybe people working in hospitality, specifically here in this space or elsewhere, as just a resource of the heart posture that we have towards hospitality here at the Stephen and Laurel Brown Foundation and here inside of Upper House. And the theme of today's podcast is Kingdom hospitality, which is something that me and Courtney have been discussing a lot when we were thinking about how do we think about hospitality here. And so we wanted to dive into the concept of kingdom hospitality, get into the word a little bit on what the Bible says about hospitality and how we can use that in our everyday lives. And so, Courtney, do you want to talk a little bit about what kingdom hospitality is?
Yeah, I'd love to. I think we boiled it down to kind of a definition with some 3 points that really encapsulate what it means to us. But this has been a long journey of working at Upper House and just seeing how this definition has evolved in my own life. And so it's fun to talk about, and I expect that it continues to evolve. But as it stands, we think of kingdom hospitality personally and in the Stephen and Laurel Brown Foundation, that it's hospitality that points people to the glory of God by inviting others not only into a hospitable space, but into the kingdom of God. So like I mentioned, we have kind of broken this into 3 separate parts that I'll walk us through. And then, like Natasha said, we're going to dive into, you know, where do we see this in the Bible and where do we see this in our space? So the first main idea to this kingdom hospitality that I find almost probably the most helpful to me is that it is intentional and it is about an unhurried presence. So when we think about hospitality, it's often like, how are we serving people? How are we welcoming them into this space? What needs to be done next? You know, the task list. But really what we want to do, if we think about the kingdom of God and how people feel in it, they feel peaceful, they feel rested, and they feel seen. And so that takes a lot of intentionality when we see people walking into our space or coming to our events. How do we have intentional interactions with them? And I think that really requires an unhurried presence. And so what I mean by that is, like, when you are speaking to someone, are you thinking about all the things you need to do, or are you seeing them as a person and really as a child of God in front of you? And that's really hard for me. And I think it's hard for a lot of people who work in hospitality to just slow down, you know, and see everyone around you. The second main idea here for kingdom hospitality is about leading others while sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to the Spirit. So again, like, hospitality, serving, it takes a lot of leadership. It takes ambition. You have to get up, you got to do things, you got to lead others, direct the crowd, you know. But we don't want that to take the place of being led by the Spirit. And so if this is truly a space that we welcome the kingdom into, that means that we do not, you know, take control away from God. But instead, we say, I am doing this work while I'm still sitting at the Lord's feet. So we'll look at some of the imagery, too, in the Bible of, like, where do we see this? And kind of, like, what does that physical and also mental posture look like to sit at the Lord's feet? But we need to listen to the Spirit as we interact with people. And I do think that even helps with the unhurried presence if the Spirit is with us. Lastly, part of kingdom hospitality is anticipating physical needs and executing them joyfully to allow space for spiritual fulfillment. So as I've mentioned, there are practical needs when we think about hospitality and the people that we are serving. And we need to anticipate those. That's part of the job. And we want to do it joyfully. We do this because we care about people, and we want them to enjoy the event or the space that they're in, whatever they're doing. But that is a strategy to allow space for more of the spiritual fulfillment. So we recognize people are coming in often with a physical hunger. We give them dinner, good food. But what does it look like to give them spiritual food and spiritual fulfillment? So that is just the broad scopes of what we think about when we think about kingdom hospitality. And we've talked and hinted a little bit about what the Bible says. But Natasha, would you be willing to show us and share with us about where we see this kingdom hospitality in the Word?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what really differentiates kingdom hospitality from just hospitality in general is the fact that kingdom hospitality is rooted in the word, and mm-hmm. it's rooted in how God shows us and tells us we should be doing hospitality. And when I think of hospitality and when Courtney thinks of hospitality, a passage that just instantly came to mind for both of us is the passage of Mary and Martha. And so I wanted to dive a little bit into Luke 10, verses 38 through 42, to just see what the Bible says about hospitality and how we can learn from both Mary and Martha about important aspects of kingdom hospitality. And so this is what the word says, starting at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. So that is the passage that just instantly came to mind for both of us. And I think just really what comes out of it is just the importance of being present with God and also being present with people. And it kind of reminds me of just the fact that the most important commandment is to just love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind, and then mm-hmm. also love your neighbor. And so even in hospitality, sometimes we get distracted by all of the busy work or all of the little aspects that we forget to just be present with God and present with people. And I think that is a really crucial part of kingdom hospitality. But as me and Courtney were just kind of meditating on this passage and thinking about what it says about hospitality, we were discussing the fact that we don't necessarily just identify with Mary or Martha, mm-hmm. but at some points in our lives, we feel more like a Mary, and at other points in our lives, we feel more like a Martha. And both of these sisters are doing hospitality in some way. And so I kind of just wanted to ask you, Courtney, which of these sisters do you identify the most with right now? And just what are some things about that sister that reminds you of kingdom hospitality and just what she's doing well or what she's doing maybe less well in that aspect?
Yeah, it's a great question. I love reading this passage, and it always kind of makes me giggle because I've read it so many times. And if you're around Jacqueline, you know, in hospitality here at Upper House, our supervisor, she loves talking about it. And every time we read it, there are just new things that pop up. And so it's true that I have felt like a Martha, or Jesus is just shaking his head and like, "Oh, Martha." And I've also felt like a Mary just sitting at his feet. So today I'm going to talk a little bit about Mary. But yeah, I mentioned this like posture of sitting at the Lord's feet. And I think obviously we see that here in this passage. And it's a hard thing to do when, you know, there's a responsibility of preparing a place for your guest. But she saw Jesus, she saw the value in him, and she just wanted to sit at the Lord's feet. And so I try to do this as often as I can. And sometimes that looks like a physical, you know, sitting, like whether it be just taking a moment to sit down if it's related to work for an event, and just praying or recognizing he's there, or just in my personal life too, starting the morning with, "Hey God, like I know you're looking at me, and I'm just going to spend some time sitting at your feet." So I love that image, and I think it's really beautiful. I also think that when you picture her sitting there, you're not like, "Oh, you know, she must be so anxious and fretting." Like, you just get this sense that she's peaceful. And that relates to this intentional and unhurried presence. So I mentioned, like, it's not an easy thing to choose to just sit down when there are things to do. But she was intentional about that. And as Martha welcomed the Lord into their home, Mary said, "Okay, I'm going to go and sit with him." And even when Martha was like, "Mary, why aren't you doing anything?" she still chose to sit. So even the pressure from the outside, when we have maybe not our own selves saying, like, "These are all the things you have to do," but other people are saying, "Courtney, you have this, this, and this to do," or like, "These are your responsibilities." But choosing the better portion, choosing to be with Jesus. And so I need that reminder all the time. But I relate to just that blessing of being in the Lord's presence. So could you talk a little bit, maybe, Natasha, about how you might relate to Martha or what we see in her in this story?
Yeah, absolutely. I think definitely for someone who's more of a type A personality like myself, I can definitely see myself in Martha a lot, because tangibly there are a lot of things that need to get done, especially when it comes to hospitality. There's to-do lists, there's spaces that need to be reset, food that needs to be set out, there's stuff to do. And because I tend to be pretty type A, I tend to focus on the to-do list and the things that need to get done, that sometimes I forget to just slow down and be present with the Lord and just focus on Him, because I'm so focused on all of the little details of hospitality. So I definitely do resonate with Martha. And so the first thing I wanted to say about Martha too is I don't think she really came into this with a negative heart posture of like, I want to do something wrong. Like, she genuinely came into this wanting to open the door for Jesus, anticipate His needs, and do all of the right things. So like, she had good intentions, but unfortunately she kind of forgot about the most important part, which, like you were saying, Courtney, is that intentional and unhurried presence and just sitting at the feet of the Lord. And because of that, it ended up causing her to be really stressed, almost a little bit bitter towards her own sister when she kind of complains to Jesus and is like, hey, Jesus, like, my sister's not helping me. She's the worst.
Relatable, relatable. I don't have sisters, but brothers are the same.
I have a sister. So relatable. But yeah, like, because she's so stressed about all these little things and she's not sitting at the feet of the Lord, she's almost bitter. She's getting a little bit overwhelmed. And because of that, she's not executing hospitality joyfully. And I think that was one of the three bullets that you kind of mentioned at the beginning, just the importance of, yes, you need to anticipate the physical needs of people, but you also need to execute these joyfully. You need to have the Lord within you. You need to be trusting in His Spirit, because then you're able to execute particularly mundane tasks in a way that's fulfilling the Lord's command and fulfilling the Lord's will in just such a joyful way. And so I think that Martha kind of had part of it right. Like, she started to get on the right track. She was anticipating physical needs. She was opening the door for Jesus. She was trying her best to be a hospitable host, but she really just kind of missed out on that key part. And so I just want to say that if you're a hospitality intern or you're working in hospitality and you feel like you identify with Martha a little bit more, like, you're not horrible at hospitality. You're not doing everything wrong. And I don't think that's what Jesus is trying to say. Jesus didn't say, Martha, you're the worst. Martha said, Mary has chosen what is better. And that doesn't mean that you're bad or you're horrible, but that does mean that there is a better solution. And the way to get there is through kingdom hospitality and through sitting at the Lord's feet, being unhurried, and just trusting in Him before you start focusing on all of the little tasks, which do tangibly need to get done as well. And so, kind of separate from the Mary and Martha story, we did just want to dive a little bit deeper into the concept of physical versus spiritual hunger, because I don't know how long you've been here at the Stephen and Laurel Brown Foundation in Upper House, but if you've been here for a while, you know how important good food is here.
Amen.
I feel like for every event, we just have fantastic food. It's one of the amazing blessings of being an intern here is just the leftovers from events. Truly, truly so fun. But we do focus a lot on just kind of filling people's need for physical hunger and just nourishing them with good food. But I think that another really big reason that we do this is to leave room so that people are able to also fill that spiritual hunger. And so I was wondering, Courtney, if you could dive a little bit more into that concept.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. There's good food. And even beyond food, it's just like physical comfort. Like, we focus a lot on like, okay, are the seats comfortable? Are they, can they see the stage? Are they, is this flow of the buffet line work? You know, do people know where to find the bathrooms? All of these things to make people feel comfortable, which are good, good things. But yeah, you kind of established this need for like, we need to do these tasks, right? But we also need to sit at the Lord's feet. But why is it better to welcome God into this? Why is it better to have kingdom hospitality over just really good hospitality? And I think that's where spiritual hunger comes in. So yeah, looking in other places in the Bible, it just has been apparent to me and talking to Natasha just about these places where we see kind of this metaphor of like Jesus as the bread of life, right? You think about the Lord's Prayer, this daily bread that we get. We think specifically, I was talking about like the Lord's Supper. And in 1 Corinthians 11, it's talking about the Lord's Supper. And it even says in verse 29, "For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." Or in verse 33, "So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other." And it's just this like communal coming together for a reason. It's not just to fill their bellies, but it's for fellowship and fellowship with the Lord. And so I think meeting physical needs is an example of the Lord's provision, as we see food as like a symbol of the Lord's presence and fulfillment in the Bible. And so my hope and my prayer is that we feed people well, we give them a comfortable space to be in, but what that does is free them up to, you know, connect with the Spirit, connect with whatever they're consuming, their thoughts that they have, the prayers that they give, the people that they talk to. So like you established, Martha wasn't wrong to provide, but she wasn't acknowledging that spiritual hunger that maybe she had or that Mary had too and was trying to fulfill in Jesus. So it's good to keep in mind, and it's a good goal to have for the hospitality that we provide here at Upper House. Okay, well, we've dove a little bit into what the Bible said. We also mentioned we want to talk about what this looks like here at the Stephen and Laurel Brown Foundation and also just at Upper House in a day-to-day basis. And so how can we apply this kingdom hospitality? Natasha, what are some of your insights? What are the rhythms that we have put in place so that we actually live this out? Because that's the hard part. That's what we're trying to get to. You know, we can talk about it as long as we want, but how do we do it?
Yeah. That's a fantastic question. And I think that's another one of the blessings of working here, aside from the great food, is the fact that when we're doing events or we're hosting things or we're just doing hospitality in one way or another, we actually do apply kingdom hospitality. We root ourselves in the Word and we focus on the Lord in a way that a non-Christian event and study center wouldn't do. And one of the ways that we do that is through using the liturgy, and we won't get too much into detail about that, but you can absolutely ask Jacqueline more questions and she can dive into it a little bit more. But we use that as just kind of a great call to worship and just a great reminder of why we do what we do before we start doing it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, so this is something that we kind of put together as a team last semester with Jacqueline's help, of like based on the scripture and based on these like principles, just something that we can read through as kind of like a grounding, like, okay, you know, this is why we're doing it. So, yeah, again, like, I'm sure you'll be exposed to it. And it's a great way to just get into the mindset.
Yeah, definitely just a fantastic reminder of why we're doing what we're doing here. And another thing that we do is something called a pre-meal. And so I wanted to explain a little bit about what that is in the context of Upper House and events. But the way that Jacqueline and Courtney have described it is prepping to open the gates of the kingdom, which I just think is such a great way of putting it. But before an event, I feel like a lot of times we get pretty stressed because there's a lot going on. And as we learned, that's not really the strategy for how to start an event. The best strategy is to start in prayer and start in just focusing on the Lord and setting our hearts and minds into the right place before we even open the doors for all of the guests coming in. And so that's what we do through a pre-meal. And usually that takes place including three things. One is a hospitality anecdote, which is kind of like a modern day Mary Martha story. Obviously, the Mary Martha story happened a really long time ago, but there are so many times, even today, that hospitality is used in a way that is biblical. And so just starting with an anecdote of maybe a time where you've experienced kingdom hospitality, maybe a time that hospitality has been used in a way that reminded you of the Lord, maybe a time where someone did a really good job of unhurried presence, is just a great way to start. Just an example of when that's been the case. And so the last event that we did, Jacqueline shared a story about an Airbnb, which is not necessarily a Christian
thing. With horses. Lots of pictures of horses.
Lots of pictures
Ask her
of horses.
About it.
But it's just a great reminder that we can see kingdom hospitality in so many different ways. And just having a hospitality anecdote to start us is a great way to do that. And then the second thing that we do in a pre-meal is we just spend some time in prayer, which is so important and mm-hmm. often so forgotten because we think there's so many things to do and we don't have time to pray, which is a lie. There's always time mm-hmm. to pray. And so just opening in prayer is a great way to set our hearts and minds more fully on Christ, which leads into the third aspect in that a premeal, we have a really unhurried rhythm. We don't rush it. We don't try to get through all the things. We're not like, all right, we're praying for 1 minute and then it's time to go because we have no time. No, we take it slow. If someone has an extra anecdote, if someone wants to pray a little bit longer, if something's on their mind, we leave space and we leave room for that so that we're able to hit the ground running once the event starts with our hearts and minds set on Christ and just already be in that unhurried rhythm and already be in tune with the Lord when the event begins.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wondering, Courtney, if you had an anecdote or just an example of unhurried presence or kingdom hospitality here in the space that you've experienced.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think there are a lot of examples. The one that came to mind when we were talking about this was me and a guy named Kurt. And if you've had the honor and the privilege of being able to roll our big, big round tables, then that's the context that we're in. And so we were cleaning up after an event. So the event had finished. There were still some guests around. And I was, you know, rolling this big table into the storage room. And a gentleman named Kurt was like, hey, like, can I help you? And honestly, sometimes when guests ask to help, it makes the process slower or like a little bit harder. Like that's just a reality because we're trained and we've rolled those tables so many times or we know where things go or whatever it is. So there's a practicality in like asking or like receiving help. Sometimes actually doesn't feel as helpful as maybe they hope it, the guest hopes that it would be. But it's still an amazing opportunity to say, yes, I would love to serve in this kingdom hospitality with you and to let them enter into that. And so I said, yeah, of course. I taught him how to stay in the middle of the table so it doesn't tip. And we started rolling tables. We did walk slower. It did take longer, but I'm so glad that he was willing to help and that I was willing to receive the help. So much of hospitality is about giving, but if you don't know how to receive, you're missing half of it. So, yeah, it was a great experience to work with him. And it turns out that he studied psychology, thought about going to counseling. I'm also studying psychology. And I believe his daughter was also interested in it. So we were talking about our experience and learning about this similar subject and just sharing a little piece of our lives that was relatable. Even though we came from different backgrounds, we're there for different reasons. And, you know, I haven't talked to him since. Maybe I will. But it was just that great example of, okay, there's someone before them, before me, and I see them. And they're a child of God, and they can be a part of this kingdom with me and serve alongside of me. So he was a great example, too, of just saying, like, I want to help, and I also want, like, he was willing to chat. You know, he asked me questions. He wanted to get to know me. So it was just a great reminder of like, okay, this unhurried presence can happen not even at the beginning of the events, but throughout them. And so I really admired him, and I've had a lot of interactions like that with guests or staff here too. And so it's a great experience.
Wow, that's an awesome story. And I think that's just such a great example of how unhurried presence can allow you to get to know someone that you otherwise might not have mm-hmm. and bond over things that you didn't even know you had in common. And exactly. So I think that that's a really cool story. Thank you so much for sharing that, Courtney.
Mm-hmm.
And last but not least, this is another great thing about Upper House. This is really just a fan picture.
Yeah, can you tell we like working here?
Can you tell we like it? But another great thing about working here is just the wisdom of all of our amazing full-time staff that work mm-hmm. here all the time, and just all of the staff members that are involved. We have people that are full-time, we have people that are part-time, we have people that are working for the Lumen Center doing research. There's just so many brilliant minds that come together mm-hmm. here, and one of those brilliant minds is Jean Guerin. And so we wanted to get the wisdom of Jean on Kingdom Hospitality because she just knows so much more than we do, and we wanted to share what she had to say with you guys as well. And so Courtney, I was wondering if you could share a little bit about your conversation with Jean and just what staff members have to say about their experience with Kingdom Hospitality.
Yeah, I would love to. I think we specifically reached out to Jean because she has a lot of experience working in just different places where she personally has tried to open up a little bit of the gates of the kingdom wherever she is, in Christian and non-Christian spaces. So she has experience with that. And she also, I had just mentioned, like, you have to receive hospitality in order to give it. She has received a lot in her life, just in her traveling to lots of different countries and places, and continues to receive it as she travels from a different city when she comes to Madison to be in person here at Upper House, stays in a lot of friends' homes and all of that. So I thought she would be a great person to talk to, and she was. No surprise there. She had a lot of great thoughts. Really, to summarize, like, what she said, and I think she put it in a really great way, she kind of had three words to describe what kingdom hospitality and hospitality in general mean to her, and to the world, really. And so those words were sanctuary, gift, and rest. So sanctuary, she really just talked about, hospitality is creating a space, physical, emotional, spiritual, that make people feel safe and surrounded by the Spirit of God. So we often think of sanctuaries as like in a church, but also there's little bits of sanctuaries when we create just a place where people do feel safe and they feel connected to God. And so I think hospitality has a great potential for creating that sanctuary space. So I couldn't agree with her more there. She also talked about a gift. And so, again, it's about receiving this gift and also giving it. But the key thing that she talked about with the idea of a gift is that it's often extra or undeserved. And so, especially here, like, we admire excellence and we admire going above and beyond, just to give a gift to someone. And so this is a great image of God's grace. And she really emphasized that in her responses and in talking to her. And so, what a gift it is to be able to give gifts to other people that even can resemble a grace as good as God's. So I thought that was really powerful. Lastly, rest. So I'm just going to read maybe a little bit of what she said about this and that we talked about too. So she said, "In my experience of hospitality, I'm always so grateful because it usually relieves me of having to care for myself. Food, housing, cleaning, etc. And in doing so, it is a gift, small or large, of rest. Like a sanctuary, hospitality invites us into God's rest." And she mentioned some passages in Hebrews that you can look into. And so by offering hospitality, we offer God's rest to weary souls. And I love that image, too, of just like, okay, we've opened up these doors of the kingdom, and we are inviting weary souls in. Sometimes those are the people working and we have to receive the gift too. And sometimes it's our guests. And rest is a gift that we all could use a little bit more of often. And so I love that we have the potential to give that and that she highlighted it. So if you want to continue the conversation about hospitality and what it means to you or others, Jean is a great person to talk to. And she's been a recipient of a lot of amazing hospitality. And I loved talking to her and reading through some of her thoughts. And I wondered, Natasha, based on what she shared with us, how do you relate to that? How do you relate to those words, maybe? What stands out to you from what Jean shared with us?
Wow. Yeah. No, there is a lot that stands out to me. I think she had just so much wisdom on this topic that I never would have even thought of. I never even thought of the concept of rest and hospitality being intertwined as well as she put it, but I think that that is just something so true and something that we do here at Upper House. Like, I feel like a lot of the time when I enter the space, I automatically feel like I'm able to rest because mm-hmm. I know that, like, there's food provided and there's great people around me and I don't need to stress about school or all of the little things in life, because just walking into the space automatically feels like rest. And I think that just goes to show how important hospitality is to everybody here and just how well it's implemented here. And that's something that you have the opportunity to be a part of, working in hospitality here, which I think is so cool. Mm-hmm. Just helping create a space that is a gift and a sanctuary for people and is a space where people are able to just slow down and find rest and just open their souls to fill that spiritual hunger and just be present with the Lord and present with the people around them in a way that they wouldn't be able to in the chaos of the world outside these doors. And so I think that Jean just has so much wisdom, and overall I've learned so much from pretty much every staff member here about hospitality and the kingdom. And so I so recommend taking advantage of the wisdom everybody has and going and asking questions to the people that are maybe more experienced or just have more life experience with hospitality. Just ask them good questions because they have so much wisdom there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Well, that's what we have on Kingdom Hospitality. It's a beginning of a conversation that we hope that you continue to have in your time at the Foundation and in Opera House. And so explore it. I pray that you can experience it yourselves and that Natasha, you and I can continue to experience it too. And thanks for being a part of it with me.
Yeah. Thank you, Courtney.